Welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Joined now by Matthew Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com to talk Chiefs football. One preseason game in the books and the second preseason game coming up this Saturday, which you can hear on the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas, Z96.3 Lake, as the Chiefs will head to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. The pregame coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. And Matthew is with us to talk about the Chiefs and how they fared in week one and what is in store in the weeks ahead. And Matthew, this is a busy time of the year. I know you're excited. All Chiefs fans are excited because the expectations this year probably as high as they've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, this team, Clark Hunt has even said it at the top, you know, anything that doesn't result in a Super Bowl is going to be considered a disappointment, not a successful season. So they're putting their goals high, and that's even with all the changes that they've got on defense, it's fitting in the new faces. That their expectations are extraordinarily high, and based on what they came off last year, we can't really blame them.
No, and it seems like this team, they've retooled the defense, and certainly I and many others are excited about that with Steve Spagnuolo coming in as a defensive coordinator, has a track record, won a Super Bowl as a coordinator. You've got Matthew, you've got Clark, who we haven't seen yet, and then the exciting rookies that we saw in week one against the Bengals. What were your couple of observations, what were the couple of things that stood out to you after watching that first preseason game on Saturday?
Well, I think number one on the offensive side is that it's business as usual. This team's not going to miss anything on the offensive side. Nobody figured out this riddle of whatever it is that Reed and Mahomes are doing right now last year. Bill Belichick looked like he might have had it solved for 30 minutes, and then he lost it. This team, frankly, I mean, what we've seen in training camp and that first drive that you saw from the number ones on Saturday, this offense is just as good, if not better, than it was last year. And we're seeing them do things out here on the practice field and at training camp that's just as impressive, if maybe not even more impressive than we saw a year ago at this place. They're firing on all cylinders. I mean, it's hard to see this offense dropping off in any significant fashion. The question's going to be on the other side of the ball. And I think that, you know, you were kind of left with still some questions after Saturday night. The number one defense did not look spectacular, but then again, I think they were probably missing at least three starters that you will see in week one that weren't out there, with Frank Clark and Alex Okafor, and I think Juan Thornhill will be starting by then too. So there's still some things in progress there, and they're trying to figure everything out. And you saw a little bit of that Saturday, some of the rotations that they're using on the defensive line, the linebackers, some of the coverages. They're trying to figure out, you know, what's their best combination, what's their best lineup, but also just the best way to play it and the best way to deploy those guys. Most teams have a history of, you know, their scheme and what they do to take into a season. You know, look at the Patriots. They've got that. This team doesn't have that advantage this year because everything is brand new on the defensive side. So they're really kind of doing it on the fly of trying to do what most teams have an entire year to do, maybe more. They're trying to compress that into just the short off-season period and training camp of figuring out what their scheme is, what's the best coverages to play, what's the best rotations, and, you know, they're hoping to get that figured out by week one, but it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, it is, and I'm not going to jump to conclusions or overreact, you know, this early in the season, because I'm more worried about what this defense does come December and then hopefully January. As you said, the offense, it looks like they're going to pick up where they left off as long as they stay healthy. So if the defense is just marginally improved, that's certainly a step in the right direction. But like you said, it's a completely different system. They're running different fronts, different schemes. It's going to be vanilla early on. They're missing some starters. And they also have some young guys that they're incorporating into this defense, and that's where I want to go next is, you know, Tanau Pastanau is not he's a very young player still. Breland Speakes is a second-year player. Those two guys been talked that maybe they won't fit this system, but the training camp so far to now has looked pretty good. And then you add in the free agent acquisitions. You mentioned Thornhill defensively. Now they bring in Morris Claiborne, another guy that's going to have to learn what they want to do. There's a lot of moving pieces on this defense. It's going to take time and patience, won't it?
Yeah, it will. And, you know, and there's certainly a few different places, you know, crossing their fingers that you don't get into injury situations. Although, you know, I think this team feels better than they were last year as far as their depth goes across the board, even if corner maybe is a little bit more of a worrisome position, the defensive line looks extraordinarily deep. There's going to be guys that that don't make this team on the defensive line that are going to play elsewhere in the NFL this year. And you're right. I mean, you know, what they're doing with Hanno Passanio and Grelum Speaks, of those are two guys who are, you know, proving in a 4-3 to be really flexible utility pieces that can play different positions. They can bring them in different spots. And, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about leaning on two former second-round picks as your, you know, first couple of guys off the bench because you're that deep at defensive line, you got to be pretty happy with that. The linebacker groups look the same way. You know, they've got Ben Neiman, Darren Lee, looking like they're going to be the number two defense, you know, linebackers. And those guys are solid players. And you saw them make plays on Saturday. So, you know, it's still questionable in the secondary. You know, if they get injuries, if, you know, they prefer to go into the season with Thornhill and Matthew as their starters and Sorensen as their backup. And, you know, last year that position just got decimated by injuries, and they had a lot of trouble back there. Corner, it's a work, like you said, it's a work in progress. They're hoping that the quarterback position, especially with the addition of Claiborne, who's probably not going to be able to make a significant impact the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season with the suspension, but they're certainly hoping that him, maybe there's some young guys that stick around on this team, even on the practice squad, guys like Herb Miller and Mark Fields. You know, if these are young guys that can develop and join the other guys that they have, they are hoping that maybe that's a better group by the end of the season than maybe it starts.
Matthew Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So let's talk about guys that are versatile. That's one thing I'm really excited about with this defense and with the new defensive coordinator and staff. Bob Sutton seemed to be pretty predictable. It still sits in my crawl. I felt this way for a while. I'm still trying to get over it, that I hope the Chiefs didn't miss their window because they didn't make a change before last season with their defensive coordinator position and so forth and so on. I've got to get past that, turn the page, and focus on this year. But what I am excited about defensively, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, is the versatility. You know, we knew Marcus Peters is going to be on one side of the field. We usually pretty much, for the most part, knew where Justin Houston, D. Ford were going to line up. But Steve Spagnuolo likes to move guys around. I would guess Frank Clark's going to move around a little bit. Tyrann Mathieu played, what, 8-9? He had snaps at 8 or 9 different defensive positions last year. Thornhill's a guy that sounds like he can cover. You know, he could play some, I don't know if he has to play a little bit corner in a situation. He could. He's a ball hawk. It just seems like this personnel defensively, along with the coaching staff, the word I keep coming up with is flexibility or versatility. Would you agree?
Yes, and you're seeing that a lot of different positions, too. You know, hey, there's some guys who are going to be locked in the spots. I mean, Frank Clark is going to be on the end, although they're going to move him around. Yeah. I mean, he's not just going to be, you know, right end or left end. He's going to bounce around from side to side, probably take advantage of, you know, what tackles he's going to be going up against. The defensive line, those guys can rotate and bounce around, some move inside. Even linebackers, I've asked on Tuesday, talking to Matt House, the linebackers coach, because a lot of the players have been talking about how they've been moving around, playing different positions throughout camp, and asked if that's, you know, hey, by design for the regular season, and what's the plan? And he said, yeah, I mean, it's both. He said, you know, the more time that those guys spend learning all of the positions, the better they understand the scheme and the overall defense. But he said, once we get into the season, yeah, we're going to want those guys to be able to play multiple positions. And you're seeing that. I mean, we've seen Reggie Ragland kick out and playing outside and some of the outside positions in the 4-3. We've seen Anthony Hitchens playing middle. That they're willing to do that. You're right, on the back end, too. You know, Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill are guys who can't cover. They can play up close to the line of scrimmage. They can, in a pinch, you know, they feel like even Tyrann Mathieu could play corner in a pinch if they needed it, like a slot corner if they needed him to fill in for Kendall Fuller. So they're focusing on that flexibility because obviously it puts you in a position that not only can you match up better against teams, maybe not end up in so many matchup problems where, you know, yeah, fans had issues in the past couple of years because it seemed like teams had a really easy time of putting a wide receiver on Justin Houston's side of the field, and suddenly your best pass rusher is, you know, dropping back into coverage. They're the kind of defense that the way they move guys around, they can avoid those kind of matchups that teams look to exploit.
Yep, I love that. You mentioned corner is an area of concern, certainly. What would be the next area of concern that you have so far as you've watched training camp develop?
I mean, it's a minor position, but I think the one that we've kind of learned during training camp is just how valuable Travis Kelce is to this offense. You know, you've got some, Tyreek Hill's a world talent too, but you saw, even in the playoff game against the Patriots, if you take out Tyreek Hill, there are other options available. This offense seems like it would really struggle if something were to happen to Travis Kelce long term. And they've been trying to find, you know, who's going to be that backup tight end. And I'm not sure that answer is still there. So, I mean, I think if, outside of Patrick Mahomes, if there's one position that you're probably crossing your fingers and hope that nothing happens, it's Travis Kelce, because they still haven't really figured out who's going to be that number two tight end. You know, on the defensive side, I think they're deep enough on the defensive line to weather a few things. Corner is probably the concern. Linebacker could be if they were to sustain some injuries. But frankly, I mean, across the board, you know, this starting lineup is pretty well set. And it looks like they're pretty deep at some positions, especially on the offensive side. And I think they're deeper on the defensive side than they probably have been the last couple of years.
Is there a player or two that maybe Chiefs fans are familiar with that have been on the team that are in danger of perhaps being pushed out of position or not making this year's squad?
You know, there definitely could be some surprise cuts at wide receiver. The top four, you know, including Marcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, they're pretty well set there. I think that Marcus Kemp is in a pretty good spot because he's such a valuable special teams player and is having a really good camp at wide receiver. Byron Pringle is probably looking like if they're going to keep six, he's that sixth guy. And so that puts some other guys maybe at risk. Defensive line, definitely. There could be some spots there where there's guys who have contributed to this team the last couple of years that might get cut because they are so deep. They've got probably 10 or 11 guys there who will play in the league this year. I'm not sure there's anybody else that really stands out. You know, running back is going to be probably the really tough pruning decision there because you've added to that group with Tre'Mont Smith going back there. If you need Tre'Mont Smith to be your kick returner, then you throw him in the mix with Damian Williams, Darrell Williams, Carlos Hyde, Darwin Thompson. That's probably at least one or two too many. So there might be a tough decision there.
Yeah, the Chiefs, it's a good problem to have when you have that much depth at some of these key positions, and maybe even you can maybe turn one of those guys into a trade and get something. I don't know. I remember last year the Chiefs, they made that trade with the Cowboys and got Charvarius Ward right before the regular season. Do you foresee the Chiefs, barring any major injuries, do you see the Chiefs being in a situation where they would make a trade, or do you think maybe they'd just be looking at the waiver wire and say, okay, here's a guy that we could pick up, say, from, you know, I don't know, what might be a corner from the Packers. They have maybe too many corners, and so they cut somebody, and then the Chiefs gobble one up.
Until we ever reach a day when Brett Veach manages to go past a end of a preseason and a waiver deadline without making some moves, I'll be stunned. I know that they are absolutely looking and scouting other teams around the league at some positions that maybe there's some depth out there, some guys that maybe they could pick up. Brett Veach is not afraid to move some draft picks for player or even players to pick up a guy. And you look back to last year, that Travis Ward for Parker Anger deal, classic example, you know, trading from a position of depth for the Chiefs with a player that was not going to make their squad, picking up a player that was kind of in the same position with their team. They're definitely looking around the league. And, yeah, cornerback is a position that they're targeting. Tight end is a position that they're looking for. So I'd be surprised if we make it to week one where there is not a trade or a waiver wire move. I think Brett Veach is always going to be active trying to find guys.
All right, let's talk about some things taking place off the field, behind the scenes, and that is contract negotiations or extensions. Chris Jones came, he reported to camp. There was concern that he might hold out. Tyreek Hill, we know what happened in the offseason with Tyreek, but then no suspension. There have been some reports that the Chiefs are still looking into an extension with Tyreek Hill, which that makes me a little bit nervous myself personally. But and then, of course, there's the big one, and that is Patrick Mahomes. And I'll save Patrick for last, the best for last, I guess. But what can you say or tell us about what you know with Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill and where the Chiefs may be standing and how that's coming along?
Yeah, you know, with Jones and Hill, they're similar but different. I mean, in the sense, they're similar in the sense that there's interest on both sides to get a deal done. You know, the Chiefs would love to be able to keep both those guys long term. With Hill, the situation's a little bit different. Obviously, you know, there's issues off the field to address. And, you know, I think that the Chiefs would be fairly comfortable with getting a deal done sooner than later. But they understand that maybe from a PR standpoint, and Hill understands, his camp understands that from the PR standpoint, maybe that's worth putting him down the road a bit. But, you know, you do certainly run the risk that if, hey, Tyreek Hill has a great season, then maybe you do consider trying to look out there for greener pastures and more money, because there's always a team that would love to have a talent like Tyreek Hill, and if you get into a bidding war, that could be a problem. So they would certainly love to try and lock him up. I mean, you would probably be looking something similar to what the Saints did with Michael Thomas, but as you alluded to, the Chiefs would probably be foolish not to build some protection into that contract that would say, you know, help them out down the road if anything were to happen off the field. With Chris Jones, it's a little bit different situation. You know, off the season last year, he's certainly looks like he's asking for a contract that would make him one of the highest paid defensive tackles in the league. And the Chiefs right now are envisioning a little bit smaller contract, so they're far apart dollar wise. But there's no hard feelings over the offseason holdout. You know, the Chiefs felt like Chris Jones handled it professionally. They understood why he was not here during the offseason program. They liked the fact that he showed up, you know, first day of training camp and didn't wait. He certainly could have waited until August 6th to show up, but he showed up on time and ready to work, and they appreciated and respect that. So I would be surprised if there was any movement on his contract before the end of the season. But, you know, you really almost have to get something done, because if you don't get one of those deals done, you only have one franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And next year with the collective bargaining agreement, there is a loophole where teams can use a transition tag and a franchise tag. But the transition tag still means that, hey, teams can go out there and make an offer, and you'd have to match it. So, you know, there's still a risk of losing the player if you don't have that, you know, either the deal done or you have the franchise tag available. That's the tricky part for the offseason.
Wouldn't the best way to go, and maybe I'm all wet here, you're closer to it than I am, and that's why we have you on the show, is if you're going to sign one of the two, Hill or Jones on an extension, you go Jones. And then Hill, because of what's happened and the track record of his past, that you just go ahead and plan on franchise tagging him, and then see if he can, you know, stay out of trouble, no kind of issues for basically, you know, a year and a half. So midway through next season, you work out an extension with him. I sit here and I worry about how the Chiefs have been burned on some contracts. There was the emotional part of the Eric Berry deal, which I think a lot of people at the time understood what the Chiefs did, but really it didn't make a lot of sense to give a safety that much money. And the Patriots don't seem to make that type of mistake. I keep looking to them and I'm like, you know, I take care of Tom Brady, but I don't see them giving these huge big deals to a, you know, a Chris Jones or a Tyreek Hill. Of course, they take care of the quarterback. Now it's different because the Chiefs players we're talking about are younger than some of the Patriots guys that have been trying to get long-term deals, but the Patriots seem to cut bait at the right time. I just fear that the Chiefs have too many big contracts, and that really makes them struggle with things down the line.
Well, and you're right. And, you know, when you talk about some of the contracts that got the Chiefs into trouble in the past, usually it was because they waited a year too long to get the deal done.
True.
The Justin Houston deal could have been much, much smaller contract had they signed it a year earlier. The same with Eric Berry. I mean, both those deals could have been much cheaper had they gotten them done without having to go to the franchise tag and losing a little bit of leverage. You know, with Jones and Hill, I mean, it's a little bit different because of just what maybe the player demands are and what the positions are. Ideally, the team would have loved to have had both these deals done in, say, February or March of this year. And that certainly at one point looked like was the possibility. The complicating factors is that, you know, with Jones is that you went out and signed Frank Clark.
Yep.
And, you know, and I was hearing even at the combine, the word was that, hey, if the Chiefs go out and acquire an edge rusher or they give a deal to Dee Ford and they pay these guys $20 million a year, Chris Jones is absolutely going to be in his right mind to say, what about me? I had 15 and a half sacks for you. Where's my $20 million?
Yeah.
and that's perfectly realistic. There's probably a little bit more concern with locking up, you know, pass rushers, because that can be a position that can drop off quickly. A lot of injuries can impact that. We've seen that with some of the Chiefs edge rushers, whereas receivers are seem to be somewhat a little bit more durable. So I think the perception is that, hey, if you're going to sign those two guys and they're going to be paid like the highest guys in the league, there's probably less risk with the receiver contract than there is with the defensive tackle contract.
Matthew Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, our guest on the Sports Ticket. So now let's go to the big one. That's Patrick Mahomes, and the numbers out there are staggering in regards to what he possibly will get. Certainly the Chiefs are not going to wait to the last minute and lock him up. And you look at the numbers around the National Football League. Right now, Dak Prescott, who's not even close to the quarterback Patrick Mahomes is, in my opinion, although he's a good quarterback, is talking about $35 to $40 million a year. Carson Wentz got $32 million per year. He coming off a torn ACL a year and a half ago. Russell Wilson, at the age of 30, getting $35 million per year, which makes all these contracts makes Matt Ryan's look cheap for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's better than some of those I just mentioned. So I'm sure there's been a lot of talk. I've seen some funny numbers thrown out there that Mahomes could ask for $1 trillion, and lots of Chiefs fans will say, fine, pay him, because you and I don't have to pay him. That's up to the Hunt family. But how do the Chiefs go about putting that together? When do they actually put this offer together to where they can get Mahomes locked up for the long term? There's no fear, by the way, if people are listening, that he's going to leave anytime soon. But you always want to take care of your franchise quarterback. And as you just said a moment ago, it's better to do it sooner than later.
Yeah, you know, and this team, I mean, they believe in his quarterback from day one.
Yep.
So they when they even drafted him, they knew the possibility was that, hey, if this guy's as good as we think he's going to be, we're going to need to pay him in 2020 and get that deal done as quickly as possible. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why they've done some of the things that they've done with the cap over the last couple of seasons. You've got some flexibility with some players. You know, yeah, you look at the big cap number for Sammy Watkins, but that's a number you could walk away from next year. You've got about a little over $20 million in cap space available right now, and that's there for extensions if you need them, with Jones, with Hill, with Mahomes. You're going to have an increase in the salary cap, too, so none of those are real concerns. They know that this number for Mahomes is going to be big, and you also have the luxury, if you do the extension now, you can give that new money, but you can spread it out over two more years, since he has two more years left in that rookie deal, and kind of makes the bite a little bit worse. But what's it going to be? You know, it's going to be $200 million plus. That's what, you know, Mahomes and his camp, they want. They want to have the biggest contract in NFL history. It's going to happen. The crazy thing is, yeah, I mean, 6 months ago, it looked like, you know, you're talking about $200 million over 7 years. Now it looks much more likely that it's $200 million over five.
Yeah.
And if Dak Prescott gets $35 or $40 million,
oh my,
it should probably be a 4-year deal for Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, and when it comes to Prescott, and I know people are talking about the number. Here's the thing about it is that as close as he's gotten to free agency, if you think about it, and I put the numbers together when the Chiefs, you know, had Alex Smith, and there was a possibility of him hitting free agency before they signed him to extension, what, about then 2014, 2015, is that quarterbacks that win and are under the age of 30 never hit free agency. It just never happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they do, I mean, Alex Smith was the winningest quarterback in the history of free agency under the age of 30 that actually could have hit the free agent market. And that just tells you, I mean, you know, that it just doesn't happen. And, you know, if you're a quarterback that's got that leverage, yeah, you can probably get a deal done. So, but there is a limit because of the salary cap. There's a limit to how high the number can get. But make no mistake, I mean, yeah, I think by March 1st of next year for sure, Patrick Mahomes will be the highest paid player in the NFL, and it's not going to be terribly close.
And he should be. Based on MVP, his first year as a starter, his age, he's really, I think, already the face of the National Football League. He's on Madden video games and cereal boxes and everything else. As long as he stays healthy, I think that's really the only thing that would stop Patrick Mahomes is a bad injury, and we hope that doesn't happen. All right, so I've got the off-the-wall question for you, Matthew. Are you ready?
Oh, fire away.
You're going to love this. Antonio Brown in the news, mainly because of his helmet. What are your helmet requirements, Matthew? Do you have anything specific if you were going to strap it on and play football? I mean, a specific helmet, specific color, specific size, double chin strap, face mask. What kind of helmet do you need to play football?
I need a big helmet.
Okay.
I got a big head.
Because you're a big brain, yes.
I don't know about the big brain part, but the big helmet part. I have tried to put on Patrick Mahomes' helmet. They had it out for display one day, and I tried to put that thing on. Uh-huh. A little too snug for me. So I need it big, and I need lots of cushion. Because, yeah, I don't want to get hit. I don't like getting hit in the head. Yeah. So, hey, I wouldn't mind just one of those giant helmets that looks like a giant bubble and got 4 inches of foam in it. I'll take that.
You're good with that. Okay, so you're not as picky. You're not as picky as Antonio Brown. That's good to know that you're not as much.
I'm more concerned about, you know, what happens when I hit something. If I can't see, that's okay with me. I just don't want to get hit in the head.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would agree with you on that. All right, tell everybody what you're working on today and this week. ChiefsDigest.com. I know you've been putting out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I got a lot of things going on. I'm working on a couple of really cool profiles right now. One about Andrew Wiley, offensive lineman. Another one, Rashard Davis. He's a wide receiver who's trying to make the team. Both really, I think cool stories with those guys. And otherwise, just daily stories, you know, recapping a lot of things the assistant coaches have had to say this week. We'll continue to be talking about everything that as training camp wraps up. So here in the next couple of days, we'll be bringing everything to a conclusion and getting ready for Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Well, we look forward to it. As always, a pleasure having you on the show. Keep up the great work. It's ChiefsDigest.com. Matthew Derrick, our guest today. Matthew, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot.